Well, again, we're in our study on the life of Christ. We spent a lot of time looking with Jesus. One of the things we spent a lot of time looking at the Word, because we're going to begin to look at His healing ministry. And that was one of the things that He did. We talked about the fact that the main things that He did was His teaching, preaching, and healing were the main parts of His ministry. Understand this. The teaching and preaching comes before the healing. Lots of people like to have that in reverse. They want to have the healing and things, but they don't want the teaching and preaching. As we're going to look at this tonight, you're going to see, we're going to understand the importance. This is why, as we laid the groundwork of planting seed, there's, for whether it's salvation, whatever it is, what we call salvation, whether it's being born again, in salvation does not cover just being born again. The word salvation, if you look it up in the Greek and the Hebrew, the words that are used for salvation, both are mostly very much the same. They deal with anything of the blessing of God, whether it's healing or whatever it is of God's blessing. It deals with the area of salvation. So being just as we have in our, as Christians, the New Testament, being born again, that is part of salvation. That's not all of salvation. So the gospel of salvation many times and most of the time is not preached. Only part of it is. So we need to understand that as dealing with Jesus here. Now, Jesus didn't preach born again, but yet He preached the salvation under their covenant. You had to walk in the light of that covenant, faith in that covenant. But one of the things that He did, we're going to find, and I want you to go to Matthew, the 4th chapter. We're going to look at numbers of places in the Matthew with Jesus in His healing ministry. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, we're going to start down on verse 23. We're going to read here. Looking at Jesus' ministry. It says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. It says, then His fame went out through all Syria, and they brought to Him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and He healed them. Great multitudes followed Him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And so we want to see, now He's talking about, this is His ministry in Galilee. Later we'll find as He ministers and also down in the area of Judea. But Jesus lived in Galilee. He was born actually in Judea. Went into Egypt, but when He came back as a kid, His parents took Him and took Him up, and they went up to Galilee, Nazareth, which is in Galilee. And in that area, it says this, we read in the beginning, Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Now you need to understand this. Number one, you want to bring people to faith for healing. Teaching and preaching comes first. People want the healing. Jesus didn't run around. Without faith, you can't please God. God's always going to try to move people to faith. He's always going to bring teaching and preaching. Understand this. A person will have no expectation of getting healed if there's not preaching or teaching. Yes, no. Well, how could you have an expectation something's going to happen you haven't heard about? You see, expectation is hope. And without hope, faith is the substance of hope. There's no place. Your hope, you ain't going to come to faith if you have no expectation that something could happen. First thing that comes from preaching the word is the expectation that God wants to do something. And so you need to understand this. So when we talk about the healing ministry, this is one of the things is why we don't see people generally healed in ministry. Now, if you go out when I was in India years ago and doing a crusade thing, and at night we would preach. And we had a lot of people. We had a lot of people saved, a lot of people healed. When I preached, one of the things as I preached was I preached healing. I didn't preach just born again. See, I'd tell people, you know, that Jesus Christ is a healer. And I'd tell them up front. We first started off. He's going to prove Himself tonight. He's going to show Himself as a healer. He's going to prove He's alive. He's real. You know, most people, they're preaching Jesus. He just loves you. Well, let's see it. You can sit and say it all you want. Let's see it. Well, what's He do that proves he loves you. See, today what we do, we prove people God loves them. We feed them. That's what we do. We feed them. So that's the idea that God loves you. Well, I guess there's all these government organizations must really love the people. And they feed them. Well, see, there's the church is just, it's another organization. It's just an organization just doing stuff. And you want to prove to people, and this is one of the things, is what we preach to people and tell people. You know, I tell people Jesus Christ is a healer, you know. That's what he is. He's a healer. And we can be bold. I mean, people will come to him, he'll heal them. But see, we don't have confidence to tell people that.
That's right.
So we don't tell them. They have no expectation it's going to take place because, well, you know, he can heal. Well, will he heal me? I'm not sure. I don't know. I just... You know? See, we're afraid to say things. I might look dumb. Don't worry. They already think you're dumb. But what you say, you're telling things and you ain't coming up with nothing for it. So what do you think they think of you? You know, is God who says he is? And see, this is the whole thing. We have to have a confidence within ourselves that he is what he says he is.
Amen.
How do you think Jesus preached to people? You know, is one of the things we know is he went to Nazareth. We already read that. He went down there. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He said to heal brokenhearted, set a captive, those who are bound. He always said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm the guy that does this. Well, see, we need to tell the people that he's the guy that does that. But see, well, you know, he'll save you from your sin. But the rest, you just drag along to see what you're going to end up with. Who knows? You know? Who knows how life's going to turn out for you? Mm-hmm. Whatever it might be, you know? You know, he might just make you sick to try to prove something. You never know. You just... And see, we get these ideas and stuff. This is where the preaching of the word. So we see what Jesus went out in his ministry. Now, in the 9th chapter of Matthew, the 9th chapter tells us, it says, and Jesus went about, in verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What do you think he was preaching?
Right.
What do you think he was preaching?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, see, when people say this, well, I don't believe God heals today. Well, he can't if people don't preach it. He can't. It must be preached. The average church in America, 90%, and you go into, they won't preach healing. Those are spirit-filled churches. And see, we must tell people, this is what, if we want to bring people to faith, understand, healing is really, especially, if you go out, now I'm going to talk about evangelistic meetings. But one of the things a lot of Christians do is they go to the evangelistic meetings where God uses the minister and evangelist to heal lots of times the people who haven't heard about healing stuff. And people go, they're trying to go to get, they want to go get healed. They have no faith for it. Christians. And really, actually, evangelistic meaning is not for the Christian.
That's right.
It's not for them. Now, people might go there who never heard about him. They're not taught in their churches. And God may meet them there or not. But there's one thing you need to understand as a Christian. You're supposed to have faith. You're called a believer.
Amen.
So understand, this deals with us. See, the Christian... When Jesus went to the synagogue, the people went to the synagogue. He taught in the synagogues. He taught there. See, I don't do much preaching. I'm a teacher. I don't do much preaching. Why? Because I'm talking to Christians. You don't need preach to. You need to learn.
Amen.
See, we preach. There's a difference. See, teaching is explaining. Preaching doesn't do that. Preaching, they say proclaiming, but preaching says a lot of things, but never explains about it. This is why if you listen to a lot of preaching, which I know people who love to listen to preachers, I always find this, people who are Christians who always love to listen to preachers usually don't know a lot. They know a lot of things, but they don't know how they work. Teaching, you know. You know, you can get proclaimed math, but it'd be best if you were taught it. You know, you can proclaim history, but it'd be better if you were taught it. Things were explained to you. You know, you might know there was a Revolutionary War, but not know a thing about it. It requires teaching. And understand that for yourselves. I mean, even in anything that we do, the more you understand and know about it, the more proficient you are at it, or whatever it is you're doing. And so that's the place that we want to go. So Jesus, we find him as his teaching in their synagogue. So the synagogue is where the believers of the covenant went. When Jesus, you know, if you went to Capernaum in Jesus' day, he had what was more or less like a street ministry. He went out and proclaimed and preached, and crowds would come. They weren't the people that go to the synagogue. The synagogue is where the people went. It's just like today, it's the church. That's the church. And see, people, I'll tell you, people that don't go to church, well, they're going to be limited in what they learn to know. They're going to be limited.
Amen.
And see, that's the place God anoints there, and that anointing there is for the believers.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand that. There's a difference. There's an anointing for the believers, and there's not. It's just like when I was in India, you know, I was ministering to sinners. Now, there was believers there in the meetings, but my whole thing was to reach sinners. That's what we were doing. We want to reach the sinners. So that's who I was preaching to. I wasn't preaching to the saints. The saints all knew exactly what I was talking about. They ought to already knew that. The saints are supposed to know those things. And so we need to understand the difference in these things. Now in Matthew, the 12th chapters, we find this about Jesus. It's interesting concerning his meetings in 12th chapter. Matthew made this statement in Matthew 12, verses 14 and 15. Jesus, and it says concerning his ministry, it says, then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. See, you know, you need to understand this. Jesus said he didn't do anything the Father didn't do. God the Father's response to the Pharisees was to do more healing, to demonstrate the glory of God more. That's what it was. See, we have today, let me tell you, this is one of the things that stops the move of God today in America. If Americans get persecuted, they get lawyers instead of God. God will demonstrate, just like with this. What happens? They're going to plot to get him. This is what this. What does God do? God responds by healing. God responds by manifesting what he does, not to get in fight with the people that don't like you. See, in America, we have all these court battles all the time, just constant. Man, we could choose some constant miracles and constant demonstrations of God's, you know. I'm not called to fight people and fight legal battles and all this kind of stuff. It's become the thing. That's the American. The American dream is to be in court today. That's always fighting a battle over something. I don't know. But this is God's response. Now think about this. They're plotting to get rid of Jesus. What does God do? God manifests himself through Jesus and heals the people. Well, wouldn't he? You need to learn the patterns of how God operates. See, we can read these stories and things and say they're neat. This is how God operates. But Jesus said he only does what he sees the Father do. In other words, we could find Jesus' ministry as a pattern. This is one thing, as I know. God never makes anybody sick. Because we don't have one time where Jesus made somebody sick or even told them God wanted you sick. Never one time. If he didn't do it and God does it, then Jesus was a fraud. And God just had a fake ministry. See, we need to sit down and read these things and pay attention to what the Bible says rather than what people say. Most of our doctrines based on what people told us and not what the Bible says. A huge difference. People say a lot of things, but I want to know what the Bible said on the subject.
Amen.
This is one thing, as I know here, God's response to persecution. What did Jesus say when he sent the 12 out to minister? He told them, you go somewhere, they don't accept you, shake the dust off your feet, go someplace else. Don't fight with them. Don't carry on. Don't do that. They don't, hey, didn't say hate them and do all kind of crazy things. But go to somebody that wants them.
Amen.
That's what you do. That's God's response. So what's God's response here? We see God's response. God wants to minister to people. So what does he do? He goes to ones, he sends Jesus to ones who want him. The ones who didn't? Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that ain't going to listen. And you know what? I'm not going to waste my time. It's a waste of your time and my time.
Amen.
To people that... God is not going to force anybody to receive the gospel. He can't. You don't have a free will then. If he does, he's going to force it on you. Get this in your mind. You know, God's not going to force people to do things except stuff. You need to learn praying for people. You can pray for people and they know what to do and they won't do it.
Amen.
And so you can go and do all you want. You're not going to pray and get God to make them do something they don't want to do.
Amen.
See, we need to get this one thing. Follow God's pattern. Follow what God does. You know, the world comes and throws something at it. Tell you what, go do something good for God.
Amen.
Let God manifest himself.
Yes.
Let God reveal his glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. In Matthew the 14th chapter in 14:14 says this, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." See, his response to people in these situations concerning healing the sick. You see, this is one of the things you need to understand. When I first came in the kingdom, there's one thing that I've learned right away was God's great interest in the healing ministry. It was way above any other ministries in the church. See, we put it down on the bottom somewhere, so therefore, we don't see much of it. You need to understand it. See, I found myself, one thing is God taught me his great interest that I would be healed, that I would be well. Number one, if you can't grab a hold of it for you, why would you think he'd do it for somebody else? I mean, think about it. You see, we need to come down to this. God is in the healing business. It's not a sideline. This is what he does. Jesus Christ, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him, and made a whole bunch of them sick because God was with him. See, we need to, I mean, take these things in Scripture. Get it within yourself that God is a healer concerning yourself. Whatever you're dealing with or whatever goes on. You know, there's one thing as I learned, even like starting off, I learned, you know, it's the things of, you don't have to get sick to want, well, you got to get a thinking in your mind about healing. You have to think a certain way. If you think, well, I get sick and God will heal me, you'll get sick. God wants you well.
Amen.
You got to get a thinking of well. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, making alive your mortal body. Well, the body I got is mortal. And the Holy Spirit is in his job, working in me, is to make me alive, only to make this body alive, this mortal body, to make it alive.
Amen.
You see, we shouldn't even think on the line of sickness and disease. We shouldn't even think on that line.
Amen.
See, we have too much thought now. We have too much, there's just a way of thinking that is not really, it's not biblical. It's the idea, something bad happens. There's a lot of things that you can bring out with sickness and disease. I mean, you should be able to go along in times in life, and I mean, you shouldn't be struggling all the time. I mean, you shouldn't be in these areas with things. You have to, or you got to get your thinking straight. Thinking's not right. How do we think about, did God invent sickness and disease? Did he? Well, if he did, then we're supposed to have it. Then what are we going to him trying to get rid of what we're supposed to have?
Amen.
Why are we praying? Why are we going through all... You see, we have a God who we've turned to. He's schizophrenic. We have the schizophrenic God. He's the good God, bad God. You know, that's what I was taught as a kid. It was good God, bad God. And I asked them this question, well, what does the devil do? And they were like, oh. Why? He didn't have a job because every bad thing that happened, God did it for a purpose. Well, what did the devil do? Nobody had an answer. Why? Because God was doing the bad, and then He does the good, and then, and everybody, when you'd ask them, well, what did He do bad and what did He do good? Which was which? They couldn't answer. They could never answer. They knew, didn't know which one it was. See, you have to, you cannot have faith and not answer that question. You can't have faith. See, you can say, I believe God's a healer. Well, I want to listen to the rest of your conversations you have about sickness and disease, and I'll tell you whether you really have faith.
Amen.
See, we find out the rest of the way you think. You really need to understand and get a thinking about God. Who is He? Who is this one? If Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him, and we find here in these things, seems like He moves along that here in this ministry. We need to understand that this is the ministry of, this is God's ministry. This is what God did. God anointed Jesus for this purpose. What did He anoint you for? Something else?
Nope.
See, I thought I was anointed to heal when I got born again.
Amen.
You know why? Because I heard the gospel preached.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people said, I heard the gospel. Didn't hear the one I heard. We have a good religious gospel that's preached today. There's a lot of religion in it. A lot of stuff of men's ideas. But the true gospel. And I just thought, you know, if God anointed Jesus of Nazareth to do, what would He anoint us to do? What gospel? Would we preach a gospel? What do we preach? What are we going to preach about Jesus? What are we going to tell about Him? See, if God operated through Him like that when He was in this earth and walked as a man, what in His glorified state, and we're seated together in heavenly places with Him, what do you think He does today? You see, He's healed. He said, the first thing He told the disciples before He left, in My name, He said, you're going to lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover.
Amen. Yeah.
Under the authority of My name, this is what's going to happen. And I mean, just think about it. See, you need to measure these things against your beliefs. And if your beliefs are different, you need to throw them out or you cannot have faith. You can't have faith. You'll have a faith, but it won't work in nothing. It's just, it won't produce. And you need to understand that on the way you think about things. And so, this is one of the things that we need too, is looking at Jesus here in His ministry. Again in John, and in Matthew 14, and we get down to verses 34 through 36, is when, so when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. Now what happened here was Jesus had been over there before, and there was a guy who was a demoniac. We'll probably get around eventually talking about him eventually in the teaching of Jesus. And he got delivered. He had a demon. And so he was delivered. And he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no, don't go with me. Go back home and tell him how good God was to you. Go tell him that. So he went home and told him, yeah, God saved me. Mm-hmm. No, he went home and told him how God delivered him. Because here's what happens. He went to that land, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding regions, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made perfectly well. What had Jesus talked about and said that they knew they could do this? How could you have faith to touch the hem of his garment if you weren't told? What was preached? See, we read these stories and we go through these things, but we really don't think in line. We're not, you know, many times we're not faith people. We don't understand how faith works. We think these things just happened. That this was just, you know, a magic wand was waved and, you know, these things, you know, Jesus had the power, Harry Potter wand, and then he just, you know, went around ding, and, you know, he did that when he left, the wand left. And people don't realize this is faith at work. This guy told about deliverance, and everybody went out there and expected to get delivered. So there should be, how did that happen? Nobody heard that. That's why Jesus told the guy, you don't come with me, you go home and tell him. You got to go home and say something. You go say something. We're trying today to pray revival in. Let me tell you this. Revivals aren't prayed, they're preached. They're preached. You can pray night and day for a move of God, but till somebody goes and preaches the gospel, there'll never be a revival. Praying's good. Praying might help you get ready for it. But somebody's going to have to preach. And if you want to move a God, you just want to pray, well, you might be the one that's dragging your feet to keep the, the revival from coming. You know, when I was in India, nobody got saved till I preached. Nobody got healed till I preached. See, we prayed about things, but they didn't happen till we went and preached. They didn't happen. You got to go preach. People get saved, the Bible says, by the preaching of the gospel, of the word. That's how they get saved. That's how people get healed, by the preaching. And don't say they get healed by the praying. See, we use praying as a scapegoat to not go. Well, I prayed about it. Well, why don't you go? Somebody's got to go.
That's right.
God sends preachers. That's what he does. Somebody's got to go. That's just the way it is. If you're looking for something different, you can just, you know, become a Hindu or a Muslim or something. You know, go ahead. But the whole thing of it is, we have a really false Christianity that people have developed. Their ideas about God. Look, Christianity is based on the Bible and what the Word says. Amen. That's what it's based on. It's based on that. It's not based on my opinion. I may have a lot of those, but it don't matter. What really matters is what the Word says. That's what matters.
Amen.
So we want to get in line with that. Well, Matthew 15. See, we're just in Matthew, man. Mm-hmm. Matthew 15. We're going to look at verse 29. It says, Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, went up on the mountain and sat down there. Then a great multitude came to him, having with them the blind, the lame, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and glorified the God of Israel. So then again, as we see Jesus. So people are following, they know that he's a healer. They know that he's a healer. See, healing should be something normal in the from the standpoint of sinners. I always tell this, I said, you know, if somebody comes to our church, if they want healed and they're a sinner and they want healed, almost every time I can get them healed. A sinner, almost all the time. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. You can get them healed. God will heal and prove. You know, God will just heal and prove. And even like Christians who don't understand and know about it. Over the years, we've had a number of people come to our church. The bad part about it is, everyone who ends up getting healed, delivered like that, goes back to their dead church and ends up back in the dead situations they're in.
Amen. Preach.
They all go back to their dead churches. They go to their dead places where they're comfortable, where sickness is comfortable.
Amen.
Where demons are comfortable to bring sickness. You know, why would you go back to dead? Why would you go back to go live? Would you do that? But people do that all the time. See, I saw that happen back in during the charismatic renewal and that stuff. People come get filled with the Holy Ghost and things like that. Go back to their dead churches. I could take you to so many people today that I knew that came out of that stuff, and they're just as dead as they were when they came the first time. They went back to their dead churches and came just as dead. Went back to the things. Why would you go back? See, you can go to death, you know. Whatever makes people comfortable. Mm-hmm. I found that God isn't necessarily interested in Ed's comfort. That's why he gave me the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, because I'm going to need that sometimes. I'm going to need comfort in. If you're going for the comfortable, you don't need the Comforter. You have no need of the Holy Spirit if you're going for comfort. The reason he gave us the Comforter, because in the world there's tribulation. So you're gonna need the Comforter sometimes. You know, that just happens. You're just gonna need him. And that's a good thing. Hallelujah. Well, in Matthew 19, again. Matthew 19 and verse 1, we're going to read. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished saying these sayings that he departed from Galilee, came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. So, I mean, you think about Jesus, he's in Galilee, now he goes down into Judea. These crowds are following him around. Now this is very interesting because, you know, they're following around for the healing. You know, God is healing. There's one thing about it you need to understand. God in his healing is a witness to you that God's alive, that God's real. I'm just going to tell you this. He's going to hold you accountable to this. He'll hold you accountable to it. See, God does things for us. We should be in response to him. We can't just go on. See, what happened with these people in Israel, in Galilee, and in Judea? They followed after his stuff, but they got healed, they got delivered, but they got what they wanted, but they really didn't want God or his thing. They just went right back to their old religion again. Remember we read the parable of the sower? See, they ain't into the teaching stuff. You know, just heal me. Let me say this to you. You could end up worse off going after healing and getting healed and then going back to your normal old way.
Amen.
Than if you just left it alone. I'm serious. See, there's an expectation. When God blesses us, we should really respond to him accordingly. Not just whatever. Yeah, God bless me in that, so I just go back and do what I want till I need him again. Hey! Hear me, buzz. I'm going to follow you when I have a problem.
Come on.
But when I ain't got no problems, you can forget it.
Say that again.
If you want to see me, you're going to have to follow me. Oh. See, we need to understand this. It's our responsibility. See, there's a responsibility when we know God manifests himself to us. That recognition of him, the fact that, you know, especially, you know, it should be a big thing for us when we pray and ask God for something. And sometimes things happen and people don't even know if God moved or if he didn't. I don't know if they know. And you know, they'll say, well, God did for me, but they go on and act and live like he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We need to walk in the light of things. You know, when we get answers to prayer, it ought to be a huge deal.
Amen.
It needs to be a big thing. It should never become a commonplace thing that God blesses you.
Amen.
If it becomes commonplace, you've got a problem. You have a problem. Because, I'm going to tell you, you'll just, after a while, you'll get further away and further away and further away. That's what will happen. You keep yourself over. You respond all the time to God doing it. How he blesses you, whatever you ask for, whatever you do, is taking the time you want to develop. Is Jesus wants disciples, and that's what we need to become. Disciples.
Amen.
And we go into Matthew 21. Says this. I want you to find this is very easy, interesting. In Matthew 21 in verses 12 through 14, says, now then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold the doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Well, it seems like if that's a place of prayer, it should be manifesting something, shouldn't it? You understand the fact of this, healing stopped there because of how they were treating the things of God. That place was a place people were supposed to get healed, and it wasn't happening there because they've turned, you know, really the church into a place of buying and selling and let's have dinners and, you know, let's do all these, let's sell tickets to dinners and we'll make money and we're doing all these things. But people don't realize the same junk that they were doing. What's the matter what they were doing?
Amen.
Today we come up and buy this. You know what? You don't give yourself. You go around and chase the sinners and sell them tickets to get their money to run the church. Yep, there. Say, we don't give, but we'll turn around and we'll do something. We'll give you a dinner and sell you a ticket. I'll tell you, we've got to get this thing on. I realize these things don't seem like fun, but I'm going to tell you what, we need to a real awakening in these things.
Amen.
If, why was that put in there? What were they doing there? They were doing things. Oh, I will guarantee you. See, they thought, why, this is some money. This goes to all kind of good stuff. This is good stuff here. This is what we have to find out. Is the good stuff we're doing God considers good stuff?
Amen. Amen.
We might think, the religious tradition there, this was all going on. This is fine. This is in the temple. I mean, the priests are saying it's okay. God had another opinion.
Amen.
Say, what would you rather have? You know, the buying and selling, or would you rather have the healing? Which do you want? See, I'd rather pay a fortune, you know, to have, you know, insurance rather than have healing. Because I can go to a doctor. They're great healers. Mm. Do you ever go online and look up things about diseases and they tell you that you must never see anything that any medication does it heal? No, don't. Stuff don't heal. All it does is suppress something for a period of time and give you two other side effects. It is better getting healing. Let me tell you, it would be a lot better to get healed. I want to look at Mark. I want to read here in Mark. We look at Jesus' ministry here. So this gives us an overall view of things. Because eventually what we're going to do is we're going to go into people specific who are healed. We'll find out about faith and healing. Because this is what we do. There was people specifically in Scripture dealing with Jesus' ministry that Jesus dealt. It talks about their faith. They were healed by their faith. And so you need to understand this. If you have to always wait for the healing evangelist to come or something like that, you're in bad shape. You're just the same thing as you have to wait till you get the doctor's appointment. Or you have to. I found out I can make an appointment anytime with Jesus I want.
Amen.
I can get. You can have it right now. You don't have to wait.
Amen. Amen.
And so, but in Mark, the first chapter, we're going to read Mark in the first chapter, verse 32 says, "That evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him." So we see this here in his ministry. Took place up in the areas of Capernaum, where he was at up in Capernaum. In fact, the city of Capernaum, he did a huge amount of healing, but they wouldn't accept his message, his preaching. And Jesus put a curse on that city and told them there wouldn't be one stone left upon another in that place. It's going to be completely annihilated and gone. And he was right. And Jesus cursed that city and never went back to preach there again. You look at his ministry. Never did he go back. He wouldn't go back. See, after time, God will mess with people for a while, but he will not continue. We don't know much about God. We've been preaching to God, oh, God will just chase you and chase you and chase you. I'm sorry, that's not true. It's not in Scripture.
Amen.
That's people's ideas of a God that we developed.
Amen.
You can't just keep rejecting the things that don't have to do with it. God, I want your healing. I don't want you. You know, I want what you got, but I want you. I don't want to follow you. I don't want to do none of that. But I want to get to heaven, but I want to be with you.
Come on.
It'll be a different heaven, I guess, for a lot of people. There's a heaven where God's not at. I don't know. So they don't have to be with him. From the standpoint of Capernaum, Jesus did a huge amount of healing in that place, but they refused his message. They didn't want his message. And so, it seems that God had a different view. You need to understand this. We talk about Jesus' ministry. Jesus ministered as a man. He didn't minister as God. He ministered as a man. We talked about this. He was anointed by God to minister. So therefore, his ministry is what God was doing through him. That's what it is. What God did through him. So if God quit doing something through him, that was God. It wasn't Jesus. It was God. Jesus didn't run around doing all that he wanted. If he did, he wasn't a man. He ain't a man like we are. But he was. Now in Mark, the third chapter, we're going to read a section here. It says in verse 7, Mark 3, 7. But Jesus went, withdrew with his disciples of the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and Jerusalem, and Idumea. And he says, and behold, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. Now, if you look in those days and times, it isn't like today. We don't get a car and drive, you know, up here. You know, you walked from where you were going. You know, most people walk. You know, you know, they always tell you they have Joseph and Mary, you know, and he always have her on a donkey. We don't know that he had a donkey. Most people didn't. And so they're probably on foot. Most people are walking. So it's a fact from people came from Galilee, and they came from all these different places in Judea. I mean, they came from even in the areas up in here, from Sidon and Tyre. These people are coming up the areas of up along the coastal areas up northern from Syria and that stuff, coming down through hearing about his ministry. They came just by the words, what they heard about his ministry, what he was doing. And so they're following after him. And so it says, so he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. It says, for he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions passed about him to touch him. And the unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. And so, what we see here in his ministry is the areas of healing. His healing ministry must have been so predominant. I mean, what you think about it, when you talk about an area that they're talking about here that people come, that would be today like we would talk about people coming from numbers of different states around to come in. That's people traveling. They're hearing about this ministry and they're running to it. So there's, you know, the healing ministry must have been enormous. His healing ministry must have been pretty darn phenomenal. You know, if God used the healing ministry of Jesus to bring attention to what he's teaching and preaching, wouldn't you think he'd do that today?
Amen.
See, it's one of the things is we need to, especially going into these areas, it's like, you know, when I was in India, one of the great things that people came out to these crusades, you know, people came out by the thousands and thousands were out there because they were healing. There were a lot of sick people. You know, in America, we don't look at, like, we look at these other countries and sickness and disease and we think all about them being bad. We need to understand it's because they don't have doctors. Most people in America, and most Christians, they're comfortable just having the doctor. They ain't going to go to Jesus. We have as many sick as the rest of the world got. We're just medicated a bunch. We're just medicating. I ain't got nothing against him, but we need to understand, too many Christians are satisfied with not being healed.
Preach.
Are satisfied with not being healed. You know. They're satisfied with, you know, like, go to the doctor a lot, and, you know, whatever it is, and they're satisfied with it. You know. I mean, at my age, a lot of people my age, I mean, I see them out and around and around and stuff, and I'm just amazed. I mean, all the people and walkers and everything else and all the stuff. And I mean, people don't get around good at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have probably at least 2 out of every 10 cars has a handicap sticker in it.
Amen.
And you know, they're supposed to be having trouble with their legs, and so what? They don't walk. That'll fix your legs. That'll make them a whole lot better. into the hospital, and they run them through therapy, and they give them therapy to make them so they can walk, and they go home and they get a sticker so they don't have to walk. See, that'll help you. That'll make just quit using your legs. They'll get a lot better. See, we need to get out. You know, this is why I'm going to tell you, Christianity is hard for a lot of people. Because of our society. If you really follow Jesus, you're not going to be real popular. If you follow the Jesus in the Bible, You can get religious Jesus and a lot of people patch and pitch it.
Mm-hmm.
But you follow the Jesus that's in the Bible?
Come on.
You're an extremist.
Come on.
I'm joining Jesus. That's what he was. He was extreme to what the world was around him. Was he like the world around him?
No.
See, everybody wondered what the extreme bought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do the extreme. Give me the benefit of the extreme, but I ain't going to walk it. I ain't going to do it. But see, there is things. Faith doesn't operate within the realm of seeing. It believes things it can't see.
Amen.
You see, God's present right here, right now. I don't have to see Him. I don't have to feel a thing. He is present right now.
Hallelujah.
Well, I can say I believe that, but do I act like it's true? Your action will determine if you really have faith. You can say, I believe that, but your actions will prove what you really believe.
Amen. Amen.
See, if I believe something I can't see is true, I still must act like it's true.
Amen. Preach.
See, I watched this back. You folks, I remember the Three Mile Island thing went on. Back when Three Mile Island had the thing and the radiation was released. And see, nobody could see radiation, but everybody acted like it was real. People leaving the area like crazy. All of them were acting like it was real. Why? Because they believed it was there. They were told it was. We're told God's around us all the time. We're told we're temples of God. God lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
Faith and the proof of that is our actions of what we do.
Come on.
Not what we say.
Amen.
The power of faith is in our actions.
Amen.
See, this is why if God's here, this is, now I'm not teaching this to try to get it on anybody. I'm just saying, you've got to act like things are true, because when that becomes real to you, the power of God gets released. It will not be released till you act like it's true.
Amen.
Without faith, you can't please Him. And if your actions don't correspond with what you say you believe, your faith, James says, is dead. Faith without corresponding actions, dead. You act like it's true. See, we act like God's here. See, this will make your prayer life, change your prayer life.
Amen.
I'm not trying to reach God out there.
Amen.
God lives in me.
Hallelujah.
See, people pray, we're trying to pray to get a hold of heaven. I'm sorry, heaven done moved in.
Amen.
Heaven is in me.
Amen.
The kingdom of Jesus said, the kingdom of God's in you.
Amen.
He probably lied. You know, he's just trying to make people feel good. But see, this is all it isn't a matter of we know these words. The power is in believing these words and acting like they're true. That's the power. The power is acting like, you know, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it.
Amen.
See, this is the failure of praying. People pray, but they don't believe they receive it. They're going to wait till they see something, then they're going to believe they got it.
Amen.
That's not faith.
Come on.
Faith says, I believe I have it when it don't ever seem like it all.
Amen.
Doesn't seem like it's happening. You know? I mean, my words, I mean, if Alan would be buried in the ground if he had operated that way.
Amen.
He'd have been buried in the ground. I'd have been buried in the ground a long time ago if I'd have acted that way.
Amen.
You know? The doctor saw me and said, you're still here. Say, yes, sir. Said, I wasn't going nowhere.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, I'm still here. And it wasn't because of the doctor.
Praise God.
Why? Because of believing something that I had, that there was no physical manifestation that I had it.
Amen. Amen.
But I believed I had it, and I talked like I had it.
Amen.
See, if you're waiting to see and feel something, anybody can do that. You don't have to have any faith to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't require faith. Faith is believing you have something that you can't see. And then when it shows up, you know what? You ain't surprised. Amen. Oh my God, I got my healing. No, I knew I had it a long time ago.
Amen. Amen.
I had a person say to me one time, I've talked about this before, so, you know, something happened, and they said, well, you didn't really get excited when that happened. And I said, I was excited when I believed I got it. I said, it's a long time that I believed it. I said, I did my dancing and shouting when I believed I had it and I couldn't see it. That's what I believed it when it came to pass. Well, I knew it was going to come to pass.
Amen.
Duh.
Amen.
If you get excited, it's because you didn't know it was really going to happen.
That's right. Amen.
God many times does stuff for us out of mercy and not because of our faith.
Preach.
See, I prayed. Well, yeah, a prayer, unbelief, but He blessed you anyhow.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I was there, man. I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I look back and I think, my God, was He good to me. Dear Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, you know, I was a baby walking along, trembling and stumbling over stuff, but He was good to me to get me to a place to walk the faith. Where now I can get a hold of it. I don't have to Him always patting me and burping
Amen.
Me all the time.
Preach.
Hallelujah. See, you want to get to the place where you can take a hold of it.
Amen.
Glory to God. One of the greatest things is you be in the middle of the trouble and you know you've got the answer.
Amen.
If you don't know you have the answer, you're going to worry the whole time or anything. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's just, you can talk faith and do all you want, but you got it. When you know you got it, man, that's what holds you. That's where faith and patience come. When you know you have it and it belongs to you, you'll have patience. You can stand through tough stuff. I stood through tough stuff because I knew I had the answer. I knew I got it. I knew it belonged to me. Things going on didn't look like at all. They were working out, but I knew I had it. I knew it belonged to me.
Amen.
See, that's where you that's how you can stand. That's a, you can't have patience if you don't know you have it.
Preach.
See, you got it. So when we look at the ministry of Jesus, I want you to get the idea of healing. It's one of the things, God is a healer, and He loves to heal.
Amen.
He loves to heal. That's what He loves to do. Healing is a blessing to us, and God is a blesser. That's what He does.
Amen.
He blesses people. You got to become convinced of that. I don't ever try to get God to heal me. I don't have to.
Amen.
That's what He does.
Amen.
That's like turning around trying to get God to love me. That'd be a dumb thing. God is love. Well, how on earth couldn't He'd have to love me, you know, wouldn't it? If that's what He is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, He is a healer. That's what He is.
Amen.
And see, you need to come here. Don't think of God any different than a healer. That God wants you well.
Amen.
It's one of the first things the Lord taught me when I first got saved and started looking in the areas of healing. The Lord started to deal with me. He said, anything that I do, He said, I love to heal my people. I love to heal them. That's what He loves to do. See, you're not trying to get Him to do something He don't want to do. Get that in your mind. This is not a sideline of God that He does. This is what the church teaches. You know, that healing is, well, you don't have to have that. It's not what God says. And boy, if they don't need it, what did Jesus do all this for?
Amen.
If they didn't need it. You think a sick don't need healed? What if you went to a doctor and he told you, you don't need healed? You know, oh, I want to see him again. I want to pay the money to see that guy. That's what most people believe. Most Christians believe the doctor wants you well. God made me dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You get all these people say, God makes people sick for a purpose. Every one of them goes to the doctor. See, the doctor's good. God may not be. And then you turn around, God and the love of God. What on earth are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You got to pervert your worship. It ain't my God. My God ain't a pervert. He's something weird.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's good.
Hallelujah.
And His mercy endures forever. And surely it does. The fact that we're all here tonight, His mercy endures
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
He's wonderful in spite of us sometimes. Huh?
Amen.
And see, always get yourself into that thought. He's good. He wants you well. If we see He did this stuff, these are people who rebelled against Him. We ain't rebelling against Him.
Amen.
What will He do for you? Hallelujah. See, sit down and go through the scriptures and just sit down and feed on them. Sit and feed on the scriptures. Looking at Jesus' ministry. If Jesus' ministry is, He said He didn't do anything that God didn't say or the Father or didn't say anything. So if I look at His ministry, this is what God does. If I have another thought on it, I got another religion. It ain't this one.
Amen.
Jesus is in the business healing people. What does He do? People that are stopping healing, He runs them off. Why? So He can heal. No, the church today runs the people off and heal. To keep the sick and the lame, lame and sick. So get it in your mind, and especially because, you know, there's one thing that says, I'm not going to talk to people and tell them God ain't good. I ain't talking to God. I can look up to anybody. I know how to, you know, if I would be Adolf Hitler would be running around the earth, I'd tell Adolf Hitler God wants to heal him, wants to deliver him, because that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He's a healer, he's a deliverer, he's a savior. That's what he does. He saves, delivers, heals people, you know, drives demons out. That's God does it. That's what it is. That's his ministry.
Amen.
Say, yeah, but he's bad. Well, you're worse off. You don't know how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. We can tell everybody. Hallelujah. Go tell people God's good, because they don't hear that all the time. They're not hearing it. No, God will feed you, you know, he'll give you, you know, a card with some money on it to go get some food. That's, you know, that's what he does. Yeah, that's as good as he gets. You know, he'll meet you in the park and give you a hamburger or a hot dog. You know, just, no. He's a deliverer. That's what he does. Let's get over to our thinking. See, when I came in the kingdom, this was the stuff that was emphasized. We had a move of God, and that move of God stopped. Why? Because the message stopped.
Amen.
The Christians became, well, I'm doing good, I'm doing great, I got money in my pocket, and I'm doing a nice life, and so we got it made here. And after a while, they find themselves in a whole bunch of trouble. See, healing should be a norm to us. That should be a normal.
Amen.
It should be a normal that you absolutely think, God wants me well. This is what he wants. See, you just, you know, if God's against you, what would be the point of praying if God's against you?
Yeah.
Amen.
And try to convince him not to be against you? You know? If God made you sick, I'm going to go to a doctor to get the will of God off my life. God made you sick, you're in disobedience if you try to get rid of it. It's like I heard people say, well, you know, God makes people sick to try to humble them. And I always say, you know, this, if you would say that to me, this is what my reply would be to you. What evil thing are you doing that you won't repent of so you can get healed?
Mm-hmm.
What are you so full of pride for that God won't heal you?
Amen.
Well, that would be it. If he's trying to humble you, you did something right. You're full of pride or something.
Amen.
He's trying to humble you.
Amen.
Say, well, you ain't getting healed. Well, then that means you ain't repenting. So this thing, and I've ever asked a person this, I've done this, and they said, that God makes people sick. And he said about that, he's trying to teach me something. What's he trying to teach you? Never have anybody ever gave me an answer what it was. And I said, ain't it stupid? He must be a terrible teacher, dumb as a stick, because he can't even get across to you what's wrong with you. Did you get healed? God made you sick for a reason. How would you know? If you don't know the reason, how would you know the reason he made you sick? I mean, it was just, give me a break. If people actually thought for 2 seconds and used their brain for 2 seconds, you know, there's a lot of moronic teaching in the church world that makes no sense whatsoever. And if anybody ever really thought about it, they'd stop and say, why on earth do we believe that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Just get settled within yourself. God is good.
Amen.
God is good. That's Amen. What he is. He's good. Hallelujah. And the only thing he has, the Bible tells us this, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, where there's no shadow of turning. There's not even a shadow that God's going to give something bad. There's no shadow of turning. Think about that. That's what it says in the New Testament. There's no shadow that he's going to turn. Not even a shadow of that.
Amen.
And that's what we ought to tell people. God has good, the devil has bad. If you got bad, the devil's trying to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Say, let's get on God's side. Get that devil stuff out of here and get over on the good side.
Amen.
Let's go to that. See, last time I checked, healing was good.
Amen.
Healing was good. Sickness is bad. How many of you like to be sick? Anybody here, do you like to be sick? Anybody like to be sick? We don't like to be sick. Well, if God makes people sick, it must be good, because every good and perfect gift comes down from above, and we believe God makes people sick. So therefore, sickness must be good. God gives it. See, look at every corner of everything of a thought that sounds wrong and put it in its place.
Mm-hmm.
Till you come down to the place, God is good, there ain't nothing bad coming from Him. And if anybody wants to help me, He's number one on the chart.
Amen.
He's the number one who wants to do something to bless me and to help me. And you need to take, when we go to the world and preach the gospel, we need to tell people, you know, God loves you. You know, He'll heal you in spite of how you act and do. He wants to bless you. That's what He wants to do. He wants to save you, and you're acting like hell. But He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you, heal you, bless you. That's what He wants to do.
Amen.
See, that's too good of a gospel. We can't. Surely He wants to curse you and put something better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You. Thank You we have the opportunity to look in Your Word. And Lord, I want to just thank You because You are so good and Your mercy does endure forever. And Father, I want to thank You. You enlighten us and bring light on, Lord God, because You're the blesser. And Lord God, I'm just so thankful. Hallelujah. You're such a wonderful blesser. Lord God, You go far beyond. Hallelujah. Even when we believe, You said You'd go exceedingly abundantly above what we imagine or we believe. You're going to go above it. Hallelujah. Father, You'd go beyond as far as we could stand and go. Thank You, Father God, for being so good to us. Thank You, Lord God. Lord, You're a blesser. And I thank You, Father, we can take this wonderful gospel of blessing. Lord, I realize there's people who rebel, but Lord God, there's people who are really waiting for some good news. Hallelujah. And our gospel is the good news. Healing is definitely good news to the sick. Healing, Lord God, I want to thank You, and I thank You, Lord God, that we can take it to people. And Jesus, You'll reveal Yourself as the great healer and deliverer of humanity. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord God, that You will ring that dinner bell of healing. Hallelujah. And the people will come from afar, Lord God, that we can preach the gospel to them. We thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.